The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, and we're mostly off the field right now as all kind of rumors are going around. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Diabolical.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Raybould, the Voldemort, if you want to get in today. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, or you could get us on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You could text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, and it's a Tuesday when everybody's usually in a bad mood. Don't be, we're going to have some fun today, because... why the hell not? What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's happening with you? How's your house? Air conditioned? That must be nice.
Nice and air conditioned. How is it there?
The opposite. The opposite of air conditioned.
Oh boy, that's like 2 days in a row now. So
yeah, it's not ideal. Not ideal.
Poor Josh. He's probably dying in there with that.
Josh was a walking puddle of sweat when he left here. Yeah, it's very it's very disturbing.
Well, at least he's a Rona-free walking puppet.
That's true.
So there's that.
That's true. It beats the alternative. Yeah,
yes, it does, because house arrest is really getting old around here. And it's funny because the wife has discovered Drizzly, which is an alcohol delivery service.
Okay.
And we're spending way too much money.
Well, that'll happen. That'll happen.
Yeah, but I went and got a test again today from Minute Maid, so it's going to be 3 or 4 days before I get that one. I'm going to go and get the rapid test tomorrow, and if they both come back negative, hopefully by Friday I can, you know, look at coming back. But till then, just going to broadcast from here, and, you know, shows are just fine. I mean, obviously I'd rather be there, but last thing I want to do is get anybody sick. So just trying to make it work, and trying to keep up with all these Texans interviews. And I think my favorite so far is Joe Brady, who was, I guess apparently yesterday they interviewed Joe Brady, who's interviewing with three different teams. And then they also interviewed, and I don't know much about these front office guys, but they did interview somebody from the Steelers front office in named Omar Khan. And I'm like, hey, man, that's another organization. I'll take a piece of that. Steelers, Ravens, Seahawks, Saints, somebody who wins a lot. So, you know, hopefully it'll be somebody like that and not your buddy Nick Caserio and the rest of the Patriot way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I if you interview Nick Caserio, and let's face it, Nick Caserio's got a reputation of being good at what he does. And there's a reason why they wanted him here, you know, several years ago. And there's a reason why everybody was like, man, if the Texans can get that guy, that's a huge get for them. So maybe it's not as bad as we think, but I'd like a fresh start. I'd like to go an opposite direction than just keep continuing to bring in Patriot, you know, branches off that tree, because I talked about it yesterday. It looks like maybe that tree really just has this giant stump at the bottom that's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and everything else that comes off of it is just kind of meh, or really replaceable parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's part of too is just I want away from all that. Let's do something fresh, and you know maybe he would be great at the job, but it sure seems like almost everyone who leaves there is not great at whatever job they go to. It's kind of like the players that leave New England. It's not like they continue to play well when they go elsewhere. So you know there's something to be said for the little a-hole who's the head coach and runs everything, but the Joe Brady thing, I'm here for that. I got to tell you, and I was listening to Josh a little bit while I was going to get my test, and you know he liked the idea too. And he brought up, like, if you bring in a Dan Quinn as off, as defensive coordinator, I'd love that. I mean, there's a guy you could lean on who's been a head coach, who's had success as a head coach, who is a great coordinator. That's exactly what a young coach needs. If they go that direction, I might actually be in on the Texans.
Yeah. I think there's – I don't know. I mean, at this point, anything that they get, we're going to look at and go, well, you know what? It's better than it was. So that's kind of the upside to their situation being so poor, is that really, like, who could they hire that we would go, oh, really? Unless they say, okay, we're bringing back Romeo Crennel, we're making him the full-time head coach, something like that. I mean, any of these guys that they're talking about, they're likely to cut. They're good enough, right? Is there anybody you've heard?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm not talking about Marvin Lewis, because I've heard that name thrown
right
out. But, like, any of the real candidates that we've heard have been considered, is there any of them that you'd be like, oh, I can't believe they did that?
Josh McDaniels.
That might be the one.
That's the one. And because I don't think Marvin Lewis is serious. I don't think Jim Caldwell is serious. I think those were I think they were pandering with those interviews. But I love the idea of somebody new and fresh and different. And, you know, maybe you get Sean McVay. Maybe you don't. Maybe the thing's a total disaster. But I love the idea of let's go get the hottest young name out there. And, you know, assuming they put some veteran coaches around him who know what they're doing, then I'd love to see it, man. I guess I'm kind of caught up in the fact that, you know, this is the one chance they have to kind of make a positive statement and not be the Texans. And so, you know, and maybe do something that we've been talking about for a while, which is get some different voices from some successful organizations and do something different. And if they do that, then, you know, I'm all for it. If they just go with the same old crap and bring in Caserio because he's Easterby's buddy and he hires Josh McDaniels, then I'm going to be like, okay, this organization is just a joke. But I don't know. I mean, I keep hearing that's not going to be the case. But I mean, none of us know. Cal McNair is this big secretive guy with a mustache. That's all we know.
Yeah. Listen, there's a and now we've got a GM interview, another GM interview. Trent Kirchner, who is the Seahawks vice president of player personnel, he's worked for I think the last 10 or 11 years with John Schneider, and that goes back to like his Washington days. So he basically oversaw the building of that Seattle franchise into what it's become in the last 10 years. So that's a guy. I'm interested in that. That's the kind of guy I'd like to have over here. And that's, you know, you want guys who have worked with smart people.
Yeah. That aren't Patriots guys, because there's a smart person. And,
right.
And the thing is, we talked about him a little bit yesterday. I love the idea. Let's go get somebody from an organization that's had success, and the Seahawks have had sustained success. The Ravens have had sustained success. So have the Steelers. I want somebody, even the Packers. I'd like to get somebody out of the Packers organization and get somebody like that in here. And again, it may not work. You never know until the guys get the job. But that kind of stuff, that's how you build winning organizations, man. You get people from organizations that know what they're doing and get the next big thing. And Saints Patrick asks, have they even interviewed Bieniemy yet? I don't think they have requested permission yet on that one. But looking at some of the other guys that they brought through, Brady's the one name that kind of gets me a little excited here. I love the idea of let's bring in the new guy. And, you know, depending on what you put around him, because, boy, don't you think Deshaun would thrive with a little of that Saints action on his offense?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, listen, there's a bunch of these guys. Like, if we talk about Brian Daboll. Look what he's done with Josh Allen. Well, I mean, you look at Deshaun. That'd certainly be nice if Deshaun could improve. Imagine if Deshaun improves to the level that Josh Allen improved. Like, can you imagine?
We're really talking about an MVP candidate,
right?
At that point.
So
and that's a name that, you know, I'm intrigued by, because he's the one guy that molded somebody. He didn't inherit You know, he didn't inherit some. Well, Brady didn't really inherit anybody with Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, Brady also we look at Brady and we're still like, wow, look what he did with that LSU offense. More than
right,
because we don't even know what his offense in Carolina looks like because they were missing the highest usage player in the NFL, the highest usage non-quarterback in the NFL, because Christian McCaffrey played like three games this year. So
right,
there's no way of knowing what he's really capable of based off this season. Yeah. So we go back and look at old times.
I hope Daboll gets in an interview because, you know, I know that's another Patriot guy that Nick Saban helped rebuild. But, you know, when you look at just how good that offense got. Now, maybe it was just as simple as getting Stephon Diggs. But, you know, that's intriguing to me as well. So, you know, hopefully they'll get something moving here pretty soon so we can start talking about the draft picks they don't have.
And
how they built the roster. So, which, you know, somebody tweeted something out yesterday. It's like, everybody keeps saying they don't have a first, second round pick, but that's only two guys on a 53-man roster. Well, yeah, but two guys that can play?
And that you get under good. And that you get under team control for the next 4 or 5 years. I mean, those are... I'm not talking about team control at, like, free agency prices. Draft picks are so valuable in the NFL. Compared to other sports, it's night and day. The value of a first round NFL draft pick. I mean, we see teams willing to give up two firsts in a second sometimes to move up in the draft. So yeah, it's important because you've got team control over these guys, the first rounders for 5 years if you want it at a reasonable price for the NFL, and it's hard to overstate the value of it. So no, it's not just two guys. I mean, it's two guys who are ideally would be franchise cornerstones that you would be able to build around, who are on a manageable salary for the next 5 years.
Well, and especially with those two rounds, I mean, the hit rate's only going to be about 50%, but if you got two of them, you get one player.
Yeah.
That's still more than what you got right now. All right, let's take a quick break. There's a lot of other rumors out there I want to talk about, including a person very, very familiar in the state who's getting an interview for a head coaching job that I'd like to hear Mr. Hoffman's thoughts on. We'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Set your clock and grab your job.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Happy Tuesday. And a lot of interesting rumors out there, but do we want to get a call in first?
Yeah, let's talk to Damon. Hello, Damon. Sports to you.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing, man? I just had a quick question. I heard the first segment with y'all talking about candidates, and I just want to know, what do you guys think constitutes a good candidate? Because you have Joe Brady. Spent 1 year as he wasn't even a coordinator at LSU. 1 year at the Panthers, they didn't knock their offense didn't knock socks off. But here, he's a hot commodity as a head coach. I heard the Titans offensive coordinator is up. Derrick Henry carried them to offensive success, and he's a top candidate. So I just want to know what constitutes, or what do you guys think constitutes a hot commodity? I remember a couple of years ago that cycle when all those guys came from the Rams. The guy, Zach Taylor, was like an offensive assistant for 1 year. He got a job. So what do you guys think constitutes being a hot commodity? Because I only see one common denominator, and that's being young and white.
Well, I mean, Eric Bieniemy is a hot commodity, and he's not young and white. So I disagree with that part of things. As far as Joe Brady... I mean, that's a dude. We talk about wanting to work for good organizations, but before he worked for the Panthers, And you could say he wasn't the offensive coordinator at LSU. He called the plays. He was the offensive coordinator at LSU. I mean, let's just say what it was. He was the guy that made that LSU offense go, and they all admitted to it. Joe Burrow admitted to it. And it was the most high-octane offense college football's seen in ever. Before that, though, do you know where Joe Brady worked? Worked under Sean Payton with the Saints. Pretty good guy to learn under. I mean, this is a guy who's been around. He's worked under some good people. And you could say, well, he didn't have anything going in Carolina. And like I said, I mean, Carolina had a first-year quarterback and was missing all but three games, the best running back in the entire league. So it's I don't know that Joe Brady's the best candidate, but I think Joe Brady's a legit candidate. And if people think that he can be a head coach, then I'd be open to giving him a shot. I think that he's done some good things wherever he's gone. As far as Arthur Smith, that's a different conversation to me. I feel like, and he's been with the Titans. We're talking about for years, for a long, long time. I don't know the exact date, but since the mid-2000s, I want to say it was either like 2009, 2010, something like that. But this is a guy who right now he's having some success because he's got an offense that's, I mean, it's built around a guy like Derrick Henry, who's a very special guy. I don't know that you could just put Arthur Smith on this Texans team and it would be the same thing. Like, Ryan Tannehill's having a bunch of success right now. I also think if you took Derrick Henry away and replaced him with David Johnson, Ryan Tannehill's success would drop drastically. So I'm not in love with Arthur Smith as a head coaching candidate. Now, do I think that someone will give him a look? I bet they do. But I wouldn't want him here. He's a guy who he started off as a defensive guy and just suddenly molded into, an offensive guy, which, I mean, it's nice to have some versatility, but yeah, I'm out on him as a real candidate. Despite him being, I don't know if he's young anymore, young and white. I think he's like 40. So that he's young and white like I'm young and white. So it's not exactly the
he's
same.
He's only 38.
Okay. Well, he's young
don't
and
age
white
that
then.
Much.
Okay. Young and white.
You are very white, AJ.
I am.
Listen, I don't know.
Well, I learned radio under Sean McVay. That's what me here. Yeah.
Look, I mean, to his bigger point, the young white thing. I'm sorry, because if you want to talk about who is the hottest head coaching candidate out there right now,
it's
Eric Bieniemy. Byron Leftwich, also a very popular candidate right
Robert
now.
Robert Saleh?
Yeah. Robert Saleh. So, I mean, you picked out the white guys, and I mean, to me, that's just, no offense, but that's just silly. I want the best coach. And I've said all along, I'd Eric Bieniemy would be my choice. But to your bigger question, which is a better question, what makes a candidate, it's pretty simple. High-level success as a coordinator. I mean, that usually is what it is. Or you're buying on potential, as the Rams did with Sean McVay. And then everything's a copycat, right? Because Sean McVay was successful, now people look at Joe Brady and say, you know what, I'd like to get me some Joe Brady. Or get me some Sean McVay out of him. And that's just natural.
They think he's
the next guy,
yeah. And when you've got a guy who's in his, second year, takes a team to the Super Bowl, or was it his first year even, it's like, wow, that guy's pretty good. I want that too. A lot of people are saying the same thing about Kyle Shanahan, because guess what? Didn't take him long to get that team to a Super Bowl. He got a team to a Super Bowl with basically just a guy at quarterback. So,
handsome guy.
Right. But let's face it, if Kyle Shanahan was named Raheem Mostert and Raheem Morris, not Raheem Mostert, that would be bad. But if he was Raheem Morris, I mean, would anybody be less impressed by the fact that Raheem Morris took a team with Jimmy Garoppolo as quarterback to the Super Bowl? I don't think so. I don't think people are really that worried about what color you are if you're putting up the offensive numbers and I guess some guys the defensive numbers that they're putting up. When you impress, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. I really wish people would quit trying to make everything about race. I mean, for bleep's sake, I just want the best coach here, and I think every team wants the best coach. But, you know, and I've said all along that I love the idea that, and I heard Josh talking about this, we don't know if Eric Bieniemy can coach or not, because he's been working for a guy who calls all the plays, one of the great offensive minds of all time. But you pick stuff up from that, and you put your own spin on it.
You like to have worked with guys who are smart guys. That's why Joe Brady working all that time with Sean Payton. You think Sean Payton ever passed Joe Brady the headset? No. But just being around that guy, being in the meeting rooms with that guy, you pick things up, and then you go to another place, you pick things up from that guy. I mean, it's a cycle, and you're basically as a coach, you become a conglomerate of everybody you've learned from. And that's why everyone always tries to get Belichick guys, because they hope that one of these guys is going to be able to have some of that magic. It just doesn't always work out that way. But that's what you are. You are, as a coach, you are you, all, everything you know about football, you've learned from the guys you've worked for.
And that's any business, right?
Yeah.
Any business you're in, you're going to learn from certain people who are when I was in the newspaper business, I learned from some of the very best. And then not just people that I worked with, but people that I was on committees with nationally. I pick their brains constantly. That's what you do, and then you develop your own style. But I mean, I think I think the first part of his question was pretty good. What makes a real candidate? Well, you're still guessing, because you don't know until somebody gets one of these jobs. And guys can, you know, they can have all the promise in the world. Hell, O'Brien looked like the best available candidate at the time, and that didn't work out. There's a lot of guys that look like great candidates and don't work out. And there's also some guys that you kind of scratch your head when they hire him, and you're like, whoa, okay, that guy, he did okay. But there's so much to it. And I think one of the things
we thought Vrabel was a bonehead choice for the Titans.
Absolutely, because he had 1 year as a coordinator, and he wasn't very good.
Wasn't very good. He coached the 32nd ranked defense in the league.
Yeah, but they were only like 29th against the run.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was like, why would they hire this guy? And then it turns out, well, they saw something. And, I mean, Mike Vrabel at this point, you can't say he's not at least a decent coach, because his team's in the playoffs every year.
Somebody says Matt LaFleur came from Tennessee as their OC, and he worked out well for Green Bay. Yeah. So, and Get Crickets, a typical white response to obvious racism. Yeah, okay. If you think it's obviously racist that I want Eric Bieniemy here as a coach, okay. Good call.
Well, it's that you would be looking at any white candidates. That's the racist part, Fred. How dare you?
Yeah, I mean, I know that stuff's not going to go away, but honestly, I don't care about it. Hire the best coach, and
pretty simple.
Whoever that is, I like that they interviewed the Colts defensive coordinator the other day. Again, not a sexy name, but that's a guy who turned a defense around. That's what you want. You want somebody who came in and made something better. And if there's one knock on Bieniemy, it's like they've been good for a long time on offense because of Andy Reid. But you also had some coaches work out that left that place and went and had a lot of success. To me, that's appealing. It's a lot more appealing than more Patriots stuff. But the other thing.
Well, and here's the other thing about the Texans. And if you think that they're racist because they're looking at some of these Joe Brady types, well, that's odd, because they're also talking to, for their GM job, they're talking to Alonzo Highsmith. They're talking to Louis Riddick. They're talking to Malik Boyd, the guy from Buffalo. These are all black guys that they're talking about putting in charge of their entire organization. And we're not talking about like, they're talking to one of these guys like it's a Rooney Rule deal. Like, I don't think the Texans are doing anything. I don't think the Texans are a racist organization. Have there been moments? I mean, Dwayne Brown would say yes, there have been moments. I agree with that. That there have been moments, but no, I don't think that this. I don't think Cal McNair is going to make a decision based on race on who he hires as GM or head coach of this team. I think he just wants the best guy. He wants this thing to start. You know, not embarrassing him.
Look how long they kept Rick Smith around.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's And I mean, I just, you know, I well, know
they fired a white guy and promoted a black defensive coordinator. I mean, and is saying that Romeo did a bad job. Is that racist? Because Romeo did a bad job. I mean, I don't, and I wouldn't care if Romeo was purple. He didn't do a good job.
So,
did they also promote a defensive coordinator that had no business being a defensive coordinator, a young black defensive coordinator? Yes, they did. Didn't work out. Says,
yeah, no, it didn't. But honestly, I don't know that he did a bad coaching job. He obviously didn't do a very good job, but with what he had to work with, I would have liked to have seen more success with it, but I don't know that he did a horrible job. And somebody says, what the caller is saying is that white coordinators get more opportunities to succeed or fail than black potential coaches. No, that's not really what he was saying. Let's not give him credit for something that he wasn't saying. And, you know, basically that he was basically picking out guys that are white. So, but I could just counter with these other guys who aren't, who I think will be very good coaches. And Robert Saleh is another one that you look at what he's done with that defense. And I just think you guys can blame whatever you want and put racism on wherever you want. I don't care. I just want the best guy. I don't care what color he is, and that's fine. If that makes me racist, so be it. All right. I think we probably need a break here.
Good call, Fred. I'll tell the people about TGS Insurance. If you own your home and you would like to save money on your homeowner's insurance, you have to pay homeowner's insurance if you own a home. I mean, it's not fun. And you don't like they don't hand you something at the end of it and say, hey, here you go. Look what you've got. So there's nothing to be held. There's nothing to be looked at and gleaned upon. But what you do get is you get protection. And you've got to have it. You got to pay for it. Why not pay less? I didn't realize this until, you know, I'd been paying too much for a long time. When I started working with TGS, I used them myself. I texted the word money to 232323. I gave them my address. They replied back, and they gave me a firm insurance quote that saved me $1,000 a year. Now, that may not be much to you, but to me, $1,000 a year for something that I didn't get to see, I didn't get to touch, seemed like a pretty good amount of savings. I'm glad that I did it. I know people who have saved $2,600 a year. I mean, it's crazy numbers. You can save, too. The average customer is saving $900. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance. All I do is kiss flights, probably not right.
Probably that day is my life. Eels. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday. I don't know if you saw Adam Schefter's tweet, but apparently the Nick Caserio interview went really well and it, quote, looks promising.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, does that mean the guy from Seattle is not going to happen?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, they're interviewing everybody, but keep in mind that was probably leaked by Jesus Easterby to Schefter, who obviously that's who Jesus wants if he's going to keep having a big influence on this organization. So I'll reserve judgment until they make a hire, but. You know, I think I'm not crazy about it because it does feel like more of the same. But again, who knows on a GM? Now, I would say this. Somebody was trying to sell me on the guy last night. We're having a conversation. And I went and looked at the Patriots drafts the last few years. Not all that impressive. They're really good at finding street free agents and stuff like that who turn into players. But an awful lot of guys that never really amounted to anything. So,
And then here's a Lamont brought up something that is a good point, but I think there's a good explanation for it. He sees the Longhorns fire and hire a dude in an hour. Makes you wonder what's going on with the Texans and other professional teams. I think a lot of that has to do with the Longhorns were able to talk to Steve Sarkisian about a potential head coaching job legally without any fear of tampering charges or anything like that. In college football, there's a lot of worry about tampering with transferring players, with student-athletes, not with talking to another coach, like an assistant coach with another team. So it's a lot easier, whereas in the NFL, you can't just go talking willy-nilly to these guys during the season. Like, you can't reach out to Eric Bieniemy, you know, the day after you fire Bill O'Brien and say, hey, man, you want this gig at the end of the season? It's yours if you want it. That's the difference.
Yeah, and that's why the Texans were interviewing guys like Jim Caldwell and Marvin Lewis, because they weren't attached to anything.
Right.
So you didn't have to worry about that. But, yeah, that is a big difference. But in Texas' case, too, if you're going to make if you were going to make that move, you wanted to have your guy in place. And, you know, somebody mentioned the Longhorns are run by boosters. It is a very different thing, yeah, because you can have these conversations without actually having the conversation. I mean, you can, a booster can talk to an agent. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can do to get the ball rolling to say, okay, this is the direction we're going to go. One name that kind of came up, and I'm kind of scratching my head. Did you see that Jason Garrett is interviewing for the Chargers job?
You want to talk about a guy who I don't think has done anything. I didn't think he'd done anything to warrant a job in the first place, and did nothing with that job to warrant another job. That's Jason Garrett. Like, because what's the upside of Jason Garrett? We've never seen him like really accomplish something and go, man, look what he did. Now, obviously, he's a Princeton guy. He's a smart guy. He's probably a great interview. But that doesn't mean that he's right for the job.
Yeah, you know, Bill O'Brien was an Ivy League guy. He's supposedly a smart guy, you know. So, to me, that doesn't matter. It's can you coach? And I think we saw enough of Jason Garrett that he's very similar to O'Brien. He's an okay head coach. He's not good. He's not awful. He's just okay. And is that really what you want? I mean, to me, that's just a that's not a direction that I would go if I were the Chargers, because you've got a really appealing job there, and you should be able to get someone who's had a lot more success than that. And, you know, that's one where if you want to talk about retreads, I'll listen to that. It's like, why is this guy getting another opportunity a year later? Just like if next year somebody's interviewing Bill O'Brien again. Be like, really? You know, what the hell? So, and it's not like Garrett tore it up as OC in New York either. I mean, a lot of times you see guys that get fired, and another name that kind of popped up, and when you hear it, you say, oh, wow, this guy, no way. But, like, the Raiders are talking to Gus Bradley for the defensive coordinator job. Well, yes, he was a terrible head coach in Jacksonville. But that dude was a hell of a
successful DC. Same with Dan Quinn.
Exactly. Those are guys I want. I mean, and Marvin Lewis, I'll throw into that conversation too. If you're going to, especially if you hire an inexperienced coach, I mean, give me some of that on the defensive side. Give me a guy who has had success there, has been a head coach, and can be a sounding board, and, oh, by the way, will run a really good defense for you.
I think the Bengals have reached out to Dan Quinn because, you know, obviously he says he wants to coach. They're still making a decision on Zach Taylor, I guess, but my guess is they're going to keep him. It's pretty hard to judge him based on one season without his starting quarterback. But if they bring in a guy like Dan Quinn to run that defense, that's the right move. When you've got a young, inexperienced, offensive-minded head coach, go get yourself a DC that's proven some stuff in this game.
Yeah, and I thought I saw yesterday that they said Taylor was coming back.
Oh, I don't think it's official, but maybe I missed something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just a report that they're not going to get rid of him. So, and somebody mentioned, what about Oliver Luck as a Texans GM? I would love that, but I've heard no indication that they've talked to him. That's a guy who has been successful at a lot of jobs in a lot of places, and I like that, you know. But again, hasn't been an NFL GM, and you never really know. But there is a reason, and getting back to the guy's original point, same thing with general managers. You know, what makes a candidate is being part of a successful organization where you had some say. And so, like, this guy from the Steelers, I don't know if he's the one that was helping him pick wide receivers, but I've said all along, whoever that guy is, I want him in my organization, because they draft guys third, fourth round, and every year they turn into something. And they build their defense. I mean, they build a really good organization. That's what you're looking for. It doesn't mean it's going to translate. So, and somebody says some people are not meant to be head coaches and should stick to what they're good at doing. They mentioned O'Brien.
No, well, Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
Great example.
But it's nobody wants to, I mean, everybody wants that job. They don't want to admit that they're not good at it. And it's just like anything else. Everybody wants to be, you know, drive time. Well, not everybody can succeed in drive time. And, you know, but they think they can. You're never going to tell somebody, oh, that you're not good enough for this. They're right. Always going to think they are. And that's okay. That's any job anywhere in life. When you get passed over for a promotion, you're going to be pissed because you think you can do the job, even if the job you have is what you're meant to do. And that's hard for people to accept. And in this, because this is so public, then that's where... that's why guys get fired so much, and you know, because you don't know until you get there. And a lot of guys, look, we'll use University of Texas as an example. I mean, Charlie Strong came in there with a lot of success at Louisville, and you know, as a head coach, but it's a big step up, and it didn't work out. And everybody loved Charlie, but he couldn't win there. Tom Herman went through the right path, right? He won a national championship as an OC, goes to UH, has really good success, takes the next step up, couldn't cut it. And you're going to tell Tom Herman that, you know, hey, you're not a very good head coach at this level. You need to go back a level. He's not going to think that way. Nobody is. So, and Dustin says, from someone who's been doing interviews for decades, sometimes you interview people to get information out of them. And or practice your interview questions and process. That way you're more prepared for the candidates you really want to talk to.
Yeah.
And that's true, and that's why the more guys you talk to, I mean, that helps you, it helps them too, because you never know when somebody surprises you. And that's why I'm all for doing a lot of interviews, because you know, somebody might come in that you hadn't really thought of, and somebody suggests, hey, this guy might be pretty good. You bring him in, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, this guy's sharp. I think he can do the job. And sometimes guys just interview well and fool you. You know, Gary Kubiak was a terrible interview for a long time. That's why it took him so long to get a head coaching job, because he would go in and he was just all shucks Gary. And, you know, when he finally got a job, it was because he'd had a certain amount of success and they took a shot on him. And he, you know, pretty solid head coach. So, you know, it is guesswork in a lot of ways, but it's just like anything else. And anybody who's ever hired anybody, you're going to make mistakes too. People will fool you. And especially when they're con men. I think the Texans have some con men in their organization, but hopefully I just want to see that end and see something different and see them not waste another 2 or 3 years of Deshaun Watson. Well, you shouldn't waste any more time if you're thinking about, getting your hair back. I mean, that's what Dr. Linville does. And if you've been thinking about it, well, listen, just go to 975hair.com, set up a free consultation. It's amazing what this guy can do. And basically uses a neograft procedure where he takes individual follicles from the back of your head, transplants them to where you're thinning. I mean, it is your own hair. And the cool thing is, you know, when I was at a point where I was just going to shave mine off, and then we had a chance to work with Dr. Linville, so I went and talked to him. And after a couple minutes, I'm like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to do this tomorrow. Because I took one look at his hair. He said, yeah, I had it done. And his hair looked fantastic. And you know what? I got Lebowski hair now, which is fine for lockdown. But it's really awesome to be able to have a full head of hair again. And you can get it done if you go see Dr. Linville. 975hair.com. And if you're one of those guys that don't want people to know, well, guess what? Now's the perfect time, especially if you're away from the office. 975hair.com. Get your hair back today with Dr. Lindvall.
Anywhere but Austin on a Friday night. That's where the Leroy brothers play. And she'll be out there dancing while some...
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday. If you're looking for a sport to watch tonight, can I just
sports
want to throw
matches.
Something out there. I know... When you hear the term junior hockey, you think it's a bunch of kids, but Canada and the U.S. play in the gold medal game tonight. And if you want to see NHL talent, most of these kids playing are already in the NHL. Canada has 19 first-round picks. The U.S. has 9. And Canada's best player, Aaron, is a Blackhawks fan, will know this. It's a kid named Kirby Dach who broke his wrist, and he's not playing. But he was a monster in the playoffs last year. So there's a lot of guys
Derby
that have been
what?
In the NHL. Kirby Dach.
Derby.
Yeah. Oh. D-A-C-H.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're off by a letter. But it's a really high skill level, and Canada over 3.5 goals. So what do you think of the way the NCAA tournament's going to be set up, doing the whole thing in Indianapolis?
It's intriguing. I mean, it's a bummer. And they announced this a while back that they were going to take away these games, but and it sucks for the sites that were going to host them, but that's just kind of the breaks. I mean, what are you going to do? If there's a city built for it, it's Indianapolis, because they've got the basketball arenas to do it, especially because there's not going to be fans in the stands, or at least a limited amount of fans in the stands, you assume. You know, they're built for these big conventions and things like that, and you know, it's not the worst idea in the world, and if it lets them play it, then it's a good thing, right?
Yeah, that's the main thing. I just want there to be a March Madness this year, as I'm sure you do. But I mean, I think it makes a ton of sense, and you know, rather than and it sucks that these places are losing it, but they weren't going to have the fans anyway. So from a basketball perspective, I don't really think it's going to be any different than what you see. When there's no fans for teams in some of the early games and stuff, so I don't think it's going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be all that different. But I'm just glad that they have a plan, and you know, I hope they can pull it off. I don't want the one thing I don't want is for them to get started again like they were doing with the conference tournaments, and then just shut the whole thing off again. So. I'm glad that they've got a plan anyway. 713-780 ESPN, and just a quick follow up on the hockey. Canada over 3.5 goals, and I wouldn't be shocked if it goes under 5.5. If it's not like a 4-1 Canada win, so those are two potential plays for you to look at. So make some money off of it. You know what we didn't get to do yesterday that I'd like to do next segment is kind of break down these playoff matchups, because I think it's a very I'm excited about this. I was against the 7-team thing, but I think the way the season finished, I came away thinking, oh man, this is pretty cool. But now, is it going to be cool because the Bears are playing? You know, I don't know, but I'm intrigued by. I think there's 3 matchups that I'm very excited to see. Maybe 4. Although one of them I don't think is going to be close. But I do think... I guess I'm going to go on record as saying I was wrong. I like the 7th playoff team.
You're wrong that you do?
No, I'm wrong. I was wrong when I said I hate this. The playoffs are perfect the way they are.
Yeah,
I'm mess with them.
I'm not emotionally attached to the seventh playoff team. My guess is we're gonna have it from now on. But did I need to see an 8-8 Bears team? Do I need to see this Colts team? Not really. I would have been just fine with the playoffs in the old fashioned way, because we didn't add a team. And now if the Colts or the Bears go on to win the Super Bowl, then it looks like, you know what, they did something right, because it clearly doesn't take one of the top seven teams can win the Super Bowl instead of just the top six. But I still don't like the competitive advantage that it gives to the one seed over the two seed, particularly if, you know, there's going to be a season where the one and the two seed have the exact same record, and that two seed is going to be greatly punished. You know, in this season, you know, there's a clear one seed. There wasn't any tiebreakers in either conference. It was a clear one seed in both conferences. But in a year where two teams finish 13-3, one of them gets a bye and the other one has to play, that's when we're going to start going, man, is this really fair? Because that bye week is a huge advantage.
But you know what, though? It's like we talk about the college football playoff. If there's eight teams, we're going to be arguing about nine.
Yeah.
Weren't there 13-3 teams last year in the NFC, and one of them didn't get a bye?
Yeah.
So I think whatever you do, there's going to be that discussion. Now, the Chiefs were clearly the best team in the AFC this year. And, you know, to me, I have no problem with them getting the bye. Would it have been nice if Buffalo did too? Yeah, but I think you wouldn't really dispute that the Chiefs were the better team all season. Just like, you know, the Packers, those guys earned it. So that I'll be curious to see if that's as big an advantage as it appears to be. Because if it is, then, yeah, I don't have a problem with putting a premium on trying to win as many games as possible. But, you know, I think it just comes down to does somebody other than the one seeds get to the Super Bowl? And if they do, okay. You know, that's maybe it's not such a huge advantage.
And if the team that got in, like the seventh team in the NFC, were 10-6 or 9-7, it'd be different. But now it's like, well, Bears, we're rewarding your mediocrity. You've already got a football team in that is clearly not one of the best teams in the league, but they're in because of the rules. Now you've got another team that is going to the playoffs that really has no business being there.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly make that argument, but then you look on the other side and you have an 11-5 team as your seventh seed, and
yeah,
a 10-6 team didn't make the playoffs. So, and now I don't think that the Dolphins were going to be any threat to do anything.
I don't know either.
The Colts probably wouldn't be, but if they somehow got by Buffalo, I could see them making a run. I don't think they're getting by Buffalo, but we'll get to that next segment. But the whole thing, when you look and you see a 7-9 team in the playoffs, yeah, it's but they would have made it no matter what. So the extra team didn't matter. The way it's set up, you win your division, you get in, even if it's maybe the crappiest division in the history of football. You would have had a 7-9 team in there no matter what, and it's what happened twice before, where you had everybody remembers that Seahawks team. Certainly Saints fans remember that Seahawks team. But I think the Panthers were the other one. I think they were 7-8-1 one year and won the division. And, you know, it's not ideal, but I don't know how you change the rules, because not everybody plays everybody, and, you know, that's the way it's set up. But, you know, I do want, and that's the thing, if you took them out, well, you get an 8-8 Arizona team. So, yeah, I don't know that trying to change the rules to keep 7-9 teams out would really make any difference, because is Arizona really any more deserving than the football team? Yeah, probably they played not in a tougher division, but they had a chance. You know, all they had to do was win. And see, I guess that's what I liked, is that we came down to that last weekend with all these teams having a chance. And that was kind of fun. That was almost like the end of baseball season when everybody's playing playing for the wild card on the last day. It just, you know, that was fun for me. Now I guess if we now that we see it in practice, maybe it won't be. All right, Quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll look at these matchups when we come back. Keep the NFL talk going. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!